I know you're having a hard time identifying with this because all your kids are so perfect, you know. It's hard to do that. I guess we all have an Uncle Henry someplace, don't we? Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens as this unfolds. See the adventures and misadventures. Do you have your Bibles today? Let me see. I want to see every Bible in God's house. Let's put it up. Shake it around a little bit. Lord, what a great thing. We love you. We love your word. There was a time, Lord, where we weren't interested in your word or you, but not anymore. We lift it up. We honor your word, Lord. You honor it above your own name. And you brought us here today to minister to us, to speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would personally tailor this word into every man, every woman, every young person. And that, Lord, you would minister that word to us corporately, Lord, as church. Now we thank you, God, for the things you're going to do. We open our hearts to it, to receive, Lord, the things you're going to speak and do deep within us. Now anoint me as your vessel. And that, Lord, you would be glorified and just have pleasure, Lord, in us today as we open our hearts to you. And the things that you do in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've been doing a number of series. I'm going to have more after this as well, called Journey to Victorious Living. First one I did was on the will of God. This has been on the word of God. This is the fourth in this second series. I first talked about the authenticity of the Bible, as we talked about, you know, how it came about and where it came from, and talked about the proofs that we see in archaeology and through prophecy. And I would really encourage you that if you didn't hear that you get hold of it. It's a must. And that you get the CD of it or get the tape, because it's going to give you real faith in the Word of God. Even how to answer other people when they talk to you and want to know about the Bible. And how do we know that it's true? Or did man just write it? Whatever. I want you to get hold of that. And then we talked about having all confidence in the Word. And what this book is and the promises that it gives us and how it's eternal and how it's unchangeable, unalterable. And last week I talked about then growing strong faith through God's Word to really put our trust in it. Today I want to talk about what happens in our hearts and in our minds as we take the Word and apply it to our lives. But before that happens, something has to happen in us. It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The first thing I want to talk about is our heart and our mind. Our heart and our mind. That scripture, Proverbs 23, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Thinks in his heart. Not mind, thinks in his heart. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I wrote this down so we could get hold of it. I want you to read it with me. It says, what I think to be true. Oh, wait. What I think to be true. Read it. What I think to be true and what I think to be true of myself will be what determines my behavior, my course of actions, and my life. Think of that. What I believe to be true about God, or maybe not about God. Maybe, you know, secular humanism. What I believe to be true, though, what I believe to be true about myself is what's going to determine what happens in my life. And so this is the seat of it. Now, it says, as a man thinks in his heart. So it's not only your mind, but it's your heart. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Not just your mind, the spirit of your mind. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. I don't want to, you know, split hairs with theologians today, but I just believe your heart and spirit are so closely akin. Your heart, your spirit, your heart of your being, that they're interchangeable in so many things that we can say. But what we need to see is that this says, as a man thinks in his heart, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Not just your mind, renewed in the spirit of your mind. We need to see that what happens on the inside is what's going to determine what happens on the outside. In spite of the circumstances, in spite of, you know, all these other things, it's as we are thinking, the things that are happening within our heart, our spirit, and our minds. And so the heart is a seat of either belief or unbelief. It's linked to our mind and to our knowledge, that it determines how I'm going to apply knowledge. I want to give you an example, maybe kind of a homely thing, you know, but I think we understand. You know, if there's two people that are scientists that have been educated that have an understanding of atomic power, and that one of them has a right heart, and so he wants to take that knowledge that he knows to do something better for mankind. The other person has the same knowledge but has a whole different heart, and so he wants to use that for self, you know, power, or for, you know, dominating people. Do you see? Same knowledge, but their motivation is different because of their heart or because of their spirit. Did everybody understand that? And that we can do that with God's truth. You know, the Pharisees knew the Word of God, but they, because they had a different heart and different spirit, you know, it certainly wasn't anything that glorified God. And as Christians, we can do the same thing too. That depends on our heart. It depends on our spirit. And so it determines, you know, you have to have wisdom along with your knowledge. And that wisdom is the right application of that knowledge. To have knowledge without wisdom isn't anything at all. Well, you know, wisdom comes from a fear of God. You know, it says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That's a reverence of God. That's where wisdom comes from. Someone that doesn't have any reverence for God, they're not going to have wisdom because, it's, you know, they don't take it seriously. But to those of us, there would be a fear in our heart to obey God, to walk in His ways, to do it His ways, then we're going to apply knowledge correctly. So everything filters through our heart and through our spirit. You know, Daniel was a man that it says he was greatly beloved, I don't know, two or three times in Scripture. But it says that he was a man of understanding and wisdom, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge and understanding was found in him. So that he had an excellent spirit, and that it brought about knowledge and wisdom and understanding. It started within his spirit. I want to share with you that there's a natural man and there's a spiritual man. I shared this on a Sunday night a couple weeks ago. And I think most of us understand that, but this is really important. And you need to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and really get it in your heart and understand it. It's really key to us. Let me read part of this, and then they're going to put some of it up on the screen in a moment. It says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." I've heard people preach messages saying, these are the things that are going to be revealed to us when we get to heaven. And nobody's ever seen or understood the things that God's going to reveal to us. But that's not what it's saying. This is not something that's going to happen when we get to heaven. This is what's going to happen right now to people that are born again. Because it goes on, it says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." They've already been revealed to us by his Spirit. That God shows us those things that other people don't see. Their eyes haven't seen. Their ear haven't heard. But those that are born again, that we understand the deep things of God. Then it goes in verse 11 and it says, "For what man knows the things of a man except by the spirit of man which is in him?" It's talking about the natural man. The natural man without the Spirit of God can't understand anything except by the spirit of man. It's shallow. It's down here in this level. It's this world. It's all about me. It's all as man is the center. And so it's the knowledge of man. You know, it's the shallow talk and vain philosophies and all this stuff. They can't understand the things of God. Only thing they can understand are the things of man. And so they can't understand the things of God because they don't have the Spirit of God. So it goes on. "What know the things of man except by the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but by the Spirit of God." So when we were born again, there came an understanding of the things of God to us that we never had before. Before we were born again, we didn't have any true understanding of the things of God. We had religion maybe, but we didn't really understand the truths of God's Word. And so it comes by His Spirit. So we now, it says, "have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So before we had the spirit of this world, but not any longer, now we have the Spirit of God that we can receive the things that are freely given to us by God. You know, before I knew the Lord, I wasn't interested in the things of God. Because I didn't have the Spirit of God in me. I had the Spirit of man. The Spirit of man says, me, I'm the center. I was interested in me. I was interested in what I can get. What's in it for me? What's going to make me happy? What's going to give me pleasure? You know, what I can get out of it. You know, and everything revolved pretty much around you and on your throne of your life. And then the Spirit of God came in me, and all of a sudden, everything changed. You know, I didn't want to know about the things of God. I didn't want to know about the Bible until I was born again. And when the Spirit of God came inside, all of a sudden, man, I had this hunger for the Word of God I never had before. I mean, it was just so exciting to read it. I mean, I could pick it up and I go, oh, man, oh, I never understood. I didn't know that was in here. I didn't know this was the kind of book this was. You know, because the Spirit of God's inside. He's the Spirit that leads us into truth. He teaches us truth. And He shows us what this book is all about. How many of you say amen? So here you are on a Sunday morning. Your neighbors think you're crazy. You know that, don't you? I mean, you know, you're going back and you're everywhere. Where are you going? Going to church. What's Sunday night? Yeah, you just went this morning. Yeah, we're going back tonight. Yeah, we're just really, really into the Word. You're into what? We're into the Word. The Word. That's the most boring book I ever read in my life. Because they don't have the Spirit of God in them. But to those of us who have the Spirit of God, man, this thing is alive. It's exciting. See, so you either have the Spirit of man or you have the Spirit of God in you. It says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are only spiritually understood. And the verse just before that, it says, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things of Spirit that He's given us, that He might give us the things freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So the things we're talking about today are spiritual things. We're comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. We're not talking about the things of man. So men think it's foolishness, but to those of us who are born again and saved, we understand that. In John chapter 3, and Jesus said, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In the same verse, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's being born of the Spirit. And so we either have the Spirit of God or we don't. We're either born again or we're not. It's impossible to enter into the kingdom of God without the Spirit of God in you. And the Scripture says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So if somebody doesn't have the Spirit of God, they think it's right. They think it's the right way. Their reasoning is faulty. They have no truth. They're affected. Their thinking is affected by their heart and by their spirit, which is faulty. It's all self-centered. So it says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God to those who are born again. I want you to listen to this. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Notice that. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our personal spirit. Not the Holy Spirit. We all have a personal spirit. All of us. And either it's deadened because of sin, what we call the spirit of man, or it's been quickened and regenerated by the Spirit of God, and our spirit is alive to God now and begins to respond to God. So it's talking about our personal spirit. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, I still believe the heart and spirit are so akin. They're similar. Here in Psalm 51:10, we see how close it says, excuse me, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. I mean, they could be interchangeable. You know, we could have a right heart as well as a right spirit. We can have a clean heart. We can have an upright or a clean spirit. It's clean. It's pure. So it's talking about that innermost part of our being. Now, this isn't the Holy Spirit. You know, why would he say, create in me a clean heart if it's the Holy Spirit? Or renew a right spirit. That means he had to be wrong if he's making it right. Well, the Holy Spirit's never wrong. How many know that? So this isn't the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, Psalm 143, verse 7. He says, hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. So we know it's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't fail. It's talking about his personal spirit as David's praying. And here, Job's friends are accusing him of unrighteousness and by saying that you turn your spirit against God and let these words come out of your mouth. And so that we can turn our personal spirit against God. And this can happen even to, quote, godly people. So we have a personal spirit. We really need to understand this. This is really important to us. So think about it. You have your own personal spirit. And that it's either under God's control or it's a carnal spirit. That we let things affect our spirit for in a positive way by faith or in a negative way. For instance, you ever hear it that somebody has a fearful spirit? You know, they have a troubled spirit. They have such a troubled spirit, a fearful spirit. On the other hand, somebody else has a peaceful spirit. You ever hear it say, they have such a negative spirit all the time? So you can have a negative spirit or you can have a positive. You guys are really fast. You can have a positive spirit. You can have a complaining spirit. You ever been around people like that? Man, this is complaining spirit. This is complaining, complaining. Or you can have a thankful spirit. So the people around here, they're thankful all the time. They're just thankful. They're just all the time just praising God. They're just so grateful. You can have a depressing spirit, or you can have a spirit of encouragement. There's people that are depressed all the time, just depressed in their spirit. Not just their mind, their spirit and their heart. Or they can have a spirit of encouragement. You ever hear this? They have a wounded spirit. You can have a wounded spirit, or you can have a beautiful spirit. They have such a beautiful spirit. Now, let me ask you, do you think those things could affect your thinking? If you have a wounded spirit, do you think that would affect the way you take truth and apply it? If you have a negative spirit, do you think that could affect the way you take truth and apply it in your life? Hello? If you had a complaining spirit, do you think that could affect the way you take truth and apply it in your life? Or if you had a fearful spirit, do you think that could affect the way you take truth and assimilate it and apply it in your life if you have a fearful spirit? Hello. Can somebody say yes? I understand this. You know, and at the same time, isn't it the same thing true? If we have a positive spirit or a peaceful spirit or a spirit of encouragement or, you know, a thankful spirit, that's going to affect the way we take truth and the way we apply it. So, you know, let me give you a few more. You can have a proud spirit or you can have a humble spirit. If we have a proud spirit, we're not really open to be instructed from God or anybody. And how many know that God can sometimes instruct you through other people? And I don't care the person that you think's on the bottom rung of the ladder. Believe me, they got something to share with you that you can learn from them. Or we can have a humble spirit. If we have a humble spirit, then we're open to God's instruction. We're open to correction. See? So a proud spirit is going to affect how we take knowledge and apply it. The same with a humble spirit. We can have a critical spirit, a grateful spirit. We can have a greedy spirit or a giving spirit. Amen. You know, it's amazing to me when sometimes I'll share on finances and we have a few times with our new building going up. And people that have a giving spirit, you know what they always do? They come up to me after a sermon and says, oh man, that was such a great message, man. That was just really awesome. Oh man, you need to preach that more. And you know, people that have a greedy spirit, you know what they say? All he talks about is money. I'm not going back to that church. See, because what kind of spirit we have affects how we perceive and how we're going to apply truth. And so we have a giving spirit. Then, you know, our heart, you know, receives the things of God. If we have a greedy spirit, it's all plugged up and dark, and we're not going to receive the light that God wants to give us to bring joy into our lives. So we can have a rebellious spirit, or we can have a spirit of cooperation. We can have a bitter spirit, or a sweet spirit, or a harsh spirit, or a gentle spirit. Or we can have an angry spirit, or a joyous spirit. A hateful spirit, or a loving spirit. A stubborn spirit. They're so stubborn. Or we can have a yielded spirit. God, teach me, instruct me, whatever you want, here I am. So we can have either a believing heart or a hardened heart. See? It's a spirit of unbelief, or we have the spirit of belief. And that those things affect what happens in our lives. So we must not be deceived in our heart or in our mind, because we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Not just our mind, the spirit of our mind. So your spirit's like a rudder that affects the thinking, that will apply the thinking in our life as we affect those things. I'll give you an example. Let me read to you, and this is a great scripture. I know I've shared it before in the church, but this is just what I'm talking about. It says, He is in the light and hates his brothers in darkness, even until now. He that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. So when we love our brother and we're light, we're going to see truth. We're not going to stumble. We're going to walk in truth. But if there's hatred in heart, it says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and doesn't know where he's going because of that darkness blinded his eyes. Wasn't that true? The Pharisees and Jesus. They had an offended heart. And didn't matter what Jesus did. They were offended at him. He could never do right because they had an offended heart. So their heart affected the way they perceived truth and the way they applied it. Are you getting this? I'm talking about raising the dead. Healing those that were deaf and blind and lame and lepers and touching poor and lifting them up and cripples and paralytics. And their hearts were so hardened. They were mad because he did it on a Sabbath day. Completely blind because of their hearts. You were offended. That's what I'm talking about. We can do that. You know, so it depends. See, what we're looking at, what we're doing, what's coming in, what kind of a spirit we have. Man, somebody can come up to you and share something that's an untruth and gossip about a brother, and man, that comes into our heart. And you know what happens? We never see that brother again in the same light we did before because of this crud that they put in our heart that offended us. Are you getting this? I'm telling you, this is so important to us that we see these things. You know, listen, David had such a heart after God. We've got to guard our heart. We have to watch over our heart and guard it. It says, Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So it's out of the heart. It's the seat. It's the rudder. All things are filtered through your heart or through your spirit. And we've got to keep it. We've got to guard it. So you must guard your spirit and your mind with all diligence because it affects everything in your life. You've got to protect them. What you see. When you see those things, whether you know it or not, it affects your spirit. Do you know when you go to horror movies and see all that crud and guts and blood and slashing and don't you know? You think, oh, this is fun. No, that's an offense to God. Whatsoever things are pure or true of good report. Think upon these things. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. God's not given us a spirit of fear. So if it's not God's spirit, whose spirit is it? The devil. He's the one that brings that kind of fear to our hearts. And whether you know it or not, those things affect your spirit. They're making impressions on your heart. What you're listening to. The music you're listening to. I'm sorry. I'm not talking about a style or the volume that blow the windows out of my car. But I'm talking about the filth, the garbage that comes out. How can you listen to that stuff and think it's not going to affect your spirit? Tell me Jesus is going to listen to that stuff on his boombox, man. What we see, what we hear, who we hang out with. Man, I can tell you where your future is just by looking at your friends today. Things we watch on TV. Oh, God, help me. We don't realize we are so polluted. And we watch it. Not just the programs, the commercials. You can't even watch commercials anymore. Just sleaze and scuds that they put in your face all the time. You know, because it's being directed by perverts and it's being perfected by people that are so far away from God, they don't have a clue and they're trying to put all this stuff. You know, when I was in sin, I tried to pull everybody into sin with me. You know, the movies are showing. The things are going. I mean, I'm telling you, listen. How can you go there? How can you watch that stuff and open your spirit to that? Don't you know that affects your spirit? We've got to guard our spirit of what's going in here, what we're seeing, what we hear, what's happening. Do you really believe that you're going to be involved in pornography and that is not going to affect your spirit? Do you think that's not going to affect your relationship with God and your personal spirit and your being able to discern the voice of God and the mind of God? Do you think we're going to go out and be involved in sin and come into God's house and be able to discern God's voice with an open heart and be able to apply it in our lives and say, man, that was a great word for me today? When we have been in such darkness and we've been in such rebellion and have all this stuff inside? Man, I remember what it was like when I was in church. I didn't hardly wait till it was over so I'd go outside and smoke a cigarette. That's why. Come on, I'm telling you the truth. Some of you say, man, I'm just so lonely. Well, we'll get rid of the pornography. You know, maybe God will give you a real living person. Right. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Do you think you're going to be involved in pornography and that's not going to affect not only your relationship with God, but with your wife? I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you, God says, guard your spirit and your mind. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it spring all the issues of life. It says that he that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls. If there's no control of your personal spirit, what you're hearing, watching, seeing, what's going in your ears, who you're hanging with, what you're involved in, so you have no walls, there's no protection. The enemy just comes in and does anything he wants. He affects your mind, your thinking, and it's going to affect your life and the outcome of what's happening in your life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I mean, think about all the strife, all the stuff in the world. It's the ways of man. It's all the stuff that's been dumped on you since you were a little kid. The philosophy of life, how you think, the deceptions, the lies that you built your life on. You know, who has the most stuff in the end wins. Stuff will make you happy. You know, all these things, you know, that pollute us and deceive us, that's an untruth that man build their lives on. It's not true. It's God's word. We've got to get God's word into our mind. It's like a virus in the computer, you see. The Lord says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we have all this stuff that's been deposited, these patterns and habits and the way we do things. And don't you understand? You know, we're so polluted in our thinking, so deceived because, and this stuff's hard to get rid of. When we've been doing this our whole lives and our parents did it their whole life and their parents before them did it. And that's just the way we think you do it. Don't you know the bank is just loving it because they love to play on our greed. They love to keep us in debt. You see, if they can just make us, you got to have bigger and better. You got to go in debt to get there because that's what's really going to make you happy. And they just keep you in debt your whole life in bondage. And when it's all over, you have nothing at all. You haven't prepared for your future because it's all eat, drink, and be merry. I've got to get it now. You understand that? That the bank is playing on the blindness of hearts and on the greed of mankind. That's not God's way. You know that, don't you? And that we've got to reprogram our mind and our thinking. God wants us to be free, not in bondage. It is His Word. The Word, the truth sets us free. I'm talking about God doing a deep work in our hearts. He wants to get rid of the faulty reasoning. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so it comes by God's word being conformed to His word, His way. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then it says we can understand the will of God. It's good. It's a good will. God has good for you. He's good in your future. It's perfect. It's the perfect way to live. as we walk in the things of the Lord. Here's the next thing, is that your heart and mind through Christ do determine your life's destiny. Now I want to give you an example of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Of course, we know when Jesus came, He had a right heart and spirit toward the Father. He was yielded, surrendered. I only do the works that I see my Father do. I only speak the words that my Father gives me to speak. As He yields Himself to the will of God, even the battle He had, you know, not my will but Your will be done. That He comes to that place to yield to the Father. He came with the right heart, came with the right spirit. The rudder, His spirit, His heart was always right toward God. And then that affects the truth and the knowledge that He applies in His life. And so it says, Jesus knowing what He knows is truth. Jesus knowing. Remember I said, what you think to be true? What you think to be true about yourself is going to affect your future. So what Jesus believes as truth and knows as truth, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, that He had come from God and that He was going to God, and that He rose from supper and laid aside garments and took a towel and girded Himself, and after that He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which He was girded. And so when He had washed their feet, He put His garments back on and He sat down and He said to them, "Now, know what I've done? Now do this to one another." See, Jesus knew where He came from. He knew that all things were given unto Him. He knew where He was going. Because of the relationship we have with the Father, He didn't doubt His identity. He knew exactly who He was. And because of that, He could apply truth without any fear, without His ego, without His pride, without any of these other things, or inferiority, or, you know, I can't, you know, humble myself. But the people, they think I'm weak. And so what He did, he laid aside His garments. He washed the disciples' feet. The one who created all things was willing to humble Himself, kneel down, wash their stinking feet. He says, "Now you do this." See, the reason He could do that is because of His heart that's yielded to the Father and because He knows who He is. He doesn't have to prove Himself to anybody. He's free to obey God. It doesn't matter what men think what He does because He knows in His heart who He is. He's completely free to walk in the will of God. And by the way, this is a picture of Christ Himself coming to pour out His life for our sins on the tree as He took off His garment and got off the throne of God, poured out His life like water, and then after He washes and cleanses with His blood, then He put His holy garments back on and He sat down again. Why? He had all confidence because He knew He came from the Father. So let's apply this. Jesus knowing He had come from the Father. This is talking about His person, His identity. God wants us to know who we are in Christ. So we're not always trying to figure out who we are and feeling like we're inferior and we're substandard people and we're not living up to it, you know, and we're going through, "Oh, I just don't know who I am and I just feel like that's a failure." Well, get over it. Get hold of the Word of God. Know who you are in God. You know what Jesus says about you. You know, that the Lord died for your sins. He paid the price. He presented you blameless to God the Father. He loved you before the foundation of the world. You become a member of His family. He's given you eternal life. I don't care what's happened in your family or in your life before. The Scripture says, hallelujah, anyone that's in Christ becomes a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Time you start seeing yourself as who you really are in Jesus and not be listening to the lies that have been planted into your heart, even whether it be by your own mother or father or your brother or your sister or a school teacher or a coach or whoever it was. You need to start listening to what Jesus is saying about you. And sometimes we're our worst critics because we think, you know, we're just failing. You know, get over it. You got this inferiority complex that's in you. That's not from God. I want to tell you that. You know, when you see yourself created in the image of God, that God has created and ordained you for good works, that He has a plan for your life. He's destined you to be successful. He's destined you to be an overcomer. what I'm talking about. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You've got to get this word in your heart and your mind. We've got to get into this book. You listen to all this other crap, excuse me, it's what it is. Get all this stuff in there. Listen to all this stuff. TV and cruddy movies and oh man, the language, the filth. Take Jesus with the movie with you. Deborah and I have had to walk out of movies. They can be a part of this. Jesus is sitting there with us. We got to get that stuff into our spirit. So I'm afraid, you know, to leave or offend somebody. So what? You going to offend God or offend them? Well, I went with these people. They paid their money. So what? Make a stand. Yeah, go get your money back. They'll give it to you. Just say, I didn't know that movie was going to be like that. It really offended me. I don't want any part of it. I want to get my money back. Maybe if enough people did that, we quit putting that stuff in the movies. Yeah, when your kids say, what movie are you going to? Oh, I don't know. It's, you know, it's okay. It's PG-13. PG-13 is filth. Don't you know that? Because they teach 13-year-olds like they're 21 or 20 or whatever today. What they're saying is there's sexual context in them. There's bad language that's in that movie. Oh, okay. PG-13. Okay. It's for little kids. Grow up, man. You better, you know, understand what's going on. You know, even PG means parental guidance. Be careful about letting your kids watch this stuff. You understand that? Whatever is going in their heart. Whatever is going in their spirit. Look at the way we dress. You know, is that the spirit of God or the spirit of the world? What do we want? To please the world? Or please God? Are we part of the world? I'm not talking, I mean, ladies. If that's what you're wearing to church, what are you wearing out there in the world? What are you thinking?
So I want to get somebody's attention.
You better get God's attention. And quit trying to manipulate and make it happen. You know, and be let God do what He wants to do in you and put the person in your life you're really looking for. You know, men want godly women. They might want an ungodly woman for a season, but they want a godly woman to marry and settle down with. And women, you should be looking for a godly man. All right. He came from the Father. He knew who He was. He knew as a person. He didn't have to yield. He didn't have to be a man pleaser. He didn't have to bend. He knew who He was. He had no identity crisis. He knew who He was. He knew who His Father was. He knew the love. He knew what was happening. And that's what God wants you to know. And it comes from this book. It comes from a relationship with Him. Understanding how much He loves you and cares for you and all that He has for you. If you start doing it His way, what He's going to do to reward you. And then it says that all things have been given to Him. We're talking about provision. We're talking about the resources of life. He knew. Whenever you walk in the will of God, God's going to provide everything you need to walk in the will of God. See, if I know I came from God, I know, man, that God's doing something in me and through me, and I'm called and I'm chosen of God, and that I know that God is going to provide for whatever God's called me to do, then I'm going to have peace in my heart. I'm not going to be ruled by fear or by greed either. And so what's happening in the world today? You know, so we're just in debt and all this stuff. And we think that pleasure comes from having all this stuff. And we get all this debt and it's horrible. Instead of trusting God. You know, because fear then begins to rule our hearts. I have it or grab everything I can and get all this stuff. Or we get a job and we know it's not the will of God. We know we're miserable in this job. Stuck there. We're afraid to get out. Man, I can never lose a job. I can never lose this job because I can never make this kind of money anywhere else. And so I put up with it because I have the stuff. And if I could, my job didn't have the money, I couldn't have the stuff. And so we compromise and we know it's not pleasing to God and we know we're not happy there and we know, Lord, it's not being fruitful. But fear rules our heart and greed rules our heart instead of putting our trust in God to walk in His will, to know that He's going to provide whatever it takes to please Him, to walk in His will. Make a stand. Jesus knew everything was given to His hands. Well, God's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God's going to take care of you. I remember as a young man when it came to the time I had that God called me into ministry. This is a big step to quit my, quote, secular job, and securities and benefits and medical and dental and retirement, and to quit. Single guy in my 20s. Well, Mom and Dad, I just want to tell you that I really prayed and really sought God, and He spoke to me. Oh, brother. God speaking to him. Oh, man. He told me to quit my job. Oh, no. And to go into ministry. Oh, no. Oh, good Lord. So I'm quitting my job, and I'm going to go into ministry. Are you going to pastor a church? No, I'm starting a coffee house to hippies. Are they going to pay you? Yeah, $100 a week. Oh, Lord. Your bedroom's still open. You can move back in. You know, it's like, you know, because I knew if I moved in the will of God, He's going to take care of me. You know, I can let loose and God's going to provide. I wasn't, quote, living on top of the hog, but I can tell you one thing. I never missed any meals. And I was happy as can be walking in the will of God. And He provides and things happen. You know, these things begin to take place and happen. What I'm talking about, God's provision for your life. And you need to start having faith and get hold of the Lord and quit and let all these other things affect your spirit and your heart so that you can't receive the truth that He wants to bring to you. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Quit having a fearful spirit, a greedy spirit, covetous spirit, complaining, critical, unbelief. And He says, and Jesus knew where He was going. This was His identity. And now, you know, we see His resources and His destiny. So He knows He's come from the Father. He knows precisely who He is. He knows everything that He needs to do His will that God is providing. Even the power to raise Him from the dead. And then He knows where He's going. And He knows that He has a destiny and a plan. And nothing's going to interrupt that destiny. And that He's going to fulfill that destiny. And He's going to go back with the Father someday. And that's what God wants you to know. God has a plan for your life. We're not just kind of skating through, you know, cruising around, whatever, you know, comes up, whatever best offer, whatever we feel, you, what. You know, God has a set plan etched in concrete for you. He has a destiny for your life. He has a plan. He has a purpose for you. We better start finding out what it is. Quit living the way the world lives. And so we can live the way the world lives. Or we can live by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. This is what I'm talking about. And so God has a destiny. He has a purpose for your life. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before time began. The Spirit of God's talking to us. That God wants to do something new. What I think to be true and what I think to be true of myself, that's going to determine my behavior. My course of actions, my life. Think of it. Whew. Look at this. Great big world with a great big God and great big opportunities that can be ours. If we begin to really believe God and change our heart and spirit to line up with God and be filled with a positive faith and begin to walk uprightly with a pure heart and do it God's way and not the way of the world or our own way. Whatever the book says, do it. Anything that's in our life that's unclean, that's impure, that's not lining up with the Word, things that are defiling our heart, things that are robbing us of our faith, get rid of them. Man, what God will do, what will begin to happen. So I want us to look. See, the results of being renewed in our spirit and minds are going to cause great things to happen. the results of being renewed in our spirit of mind, that they're going to change everything. So look, they're going to determine, first of all, your thoughts. Your spirit and your mind are going to determine the thoughts you have. If you have an unclean spirit, a defiled spirit, if you have a critical spirit, they're going to affect your mind and your thoughts. Your thoughts aren't going to line up with God. If by the Spirit of God on your personal spirit yielded to Him and renewing your mind by the Word of God, they're going to affect your thoughts. You're going to have God's thoughts. And the choices that you make, because you're going to do it according to God's Word now, not according to the ways of this world, the way that seems right to man. Determined by our own insecurity, our own inferiority, by our fear, by our greed. Are you getting this? And then our thoughts are going to determine our choices. We've got right thoughts, we're going to have right choices. Our right choices are going to determine right character. We've been making the right choices. So now we see those right choices. That person has character. You see, they're making right choices in their life. That right character, what is that going to happen? We have right character, it's going to determine right actions and behavior. Because they're a person of character. So they're going to walk in correct actions and right behavior in their lives. And the right action, they're going to determine what? Right habits. And the right habits we're walking in are going to determine right achievements. And those achievements are going to determine our life. And that right life is going to determine our destiny. When we look back, say, I did it. God, I had shortcomings, but I believe in my heart I fulfilled the destiny He had for my life. I didn't miss it. It starts here, here. So I'm just praying God. No. God's already given you the word. It's right here. You already know the truth. Excuse me. You know enough truth to choke a horse. I mean, you know. You know the truth. Now, start lining your heart up with it. And get rid of the stuff you need to get rid of and put the right things in line you need to put in line. And God's got great things for you. More than you ever imagined or expected. Why would we want to do it any other way but God's way? I mean, who are we going to believe? The devil and all his lies and deceptions of mankind? Look at man, they're a mess. Or are we going to do it God's way? You understand? You look at the outcome. Jesus came out of it okay. You understand? He overcame death and became the Lord of all things, with all might and all power, the owner of everything. He came out of it okay. You know, he says, so you're going to follow me? You're going to just follow that stuff. Father, I pray, Lord, today this word is going to go deep into our hearts. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that your spirit is going to so plant things in the hearts of men and women in this room in the name of Jesus. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed as we dismiss today. I don't know how it can be any clearer to us. We either have the Spirit of God in us or we have the Spirit of this world. We're born again or we're not. Without the Spirit of God, we'll never understand the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, we do not have life. We do not have eternal life. We're not forgiven. But when we have the Spirit of this world or the Spirit of man, we always think we're right, but we don't understand we're going toward a dead end. It's heading toward death and all the ways of death. And when we receive Christ, He comes in, He sends His Spirit. You're going to know Him and meet Him, and He'll begin to lead you into truth. And you'll know His presence, and you know His joy. Even in the middle of our trials, there'll be a peace and joy in your heart. There's a hope, there's an expectancy, because we know God has a plan. That it's not just things happen random in our lives, that God has it all under control. And that we begin by saying, Lord, I yield, I'm ready to get off this throne of my heart. To let you control my personal spirit, not me. And so, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart, into my very being.
I receive you as my Lord and Savior. It says, if you will open the door of your heart, he stands there knocking on it. If you'll believe in your heart, confess him with your mouth, you'll be saved. It's that easy. It's a gift of God, not of good works, so no one can brag about it. It's not by good works. You never get to heaven by good works. If that's you today, you say, Pastor, I've never done that. I've never put my trust in Jesus completely. I tried religion. Religion will never get you into heaven. You can join every church in Tampa Bay. It won't get you into heaven. You try, I'm going to cover all my bases. Well, yeah, there's only one base you better cover, and that's through Jesus Christ on the cross. It's the blood of Christ that washes away all sins. He died for your sins, not the church. No one's saved by good works. It's a gift of God, not of good works, so no one can brag. So it's about Jesus, not about religion. In fact, your heart today, I want you to lift your hand and you say, Pastor John, will you pray for me? I've never done that. I've never put my trust in God alone. I didn't know you could really know you're saved. That the Spirit of God is going to come in me. I'm going to meet Him. I'm going to experience Him. The moment you do, it says that we have entered into eternal life. I have eternal life. Not because I'm good, because of God's gift that He gave me. And I want you to lift your hand right now, and you say, will you pray for me? When I see your hand, you can put it down. I see your hand there. Thank you. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. How many more? You just slip your hand up and say, pray for me in this section. How many more? You just slip your hand up. When I see your hand, you can put it down. You say, pray for me. Lift it up high so I can see it. Thank you so much. I see your hand. I see your hand. So anyone else this morning? Listen, this is serious stuff. You know, it's not just about raising a hand in church. It's about your heart before God. That's what He sees when your hand goes up. He says, Lord, I'm yielded to You. I want to do it Your way. My heart's open. Is there anyone else? You just slip your hand up. Thank You. I see your hand there in the back. I see your hand. I see your hand. Father, I pray, Lord, this morning for those that have raised their hand in this place. God, the greatest thing that could possibly happen, oh Lord, the people would find You today, that Lord, they're going to be clean, they're going to know what it is, Lord, to know Your joy and Your presence and Your love and Your purpose and the freedom that's going to come into their life, Lord, that they're going to know You, they're going to know the joy of knowing and meeting You, Lord, truth that's going to lead them, Lord, that Your Spirit is going to come in them, they're going to know that they have eternal life by that same Spirit that raised You up. I pray, Lord, today You're going to lift the weights and the burdens from their shoulder, then the condemnation and the guilt, that they are going to know, Lord, Your love, Your peace, and Your joy and Your fullness today. Not when they get better next week or next month. Today You pronounce them righteous, Lord, because of the price that You paid in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, not moving around, please interrupting anyone, but let's stand up for just a moment. I'm going to ask every person that raised their hand, I'm going to ask you to come.